Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
And this is Trendish.
We'll be covering relationships, faith, leadership, health, and everything in between. I'll definitely troll.
And I'll probably cry.
And we're so glad you're here to witness the whole thing.
Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back. It's a new year. Thank God.
Is it? Thank God?
I think so.
It is a new year for Jamie. It's a new year, new Jamie
new
right
year,
now.
New me, that's my motto.
She's got her declarations.
Come on.
Her identity podcast.
Can you talk about that identity podcast for a second?
I wanted it.
Are you going to trend it?
Yeah, but you just gave it away.
You gave it away. You brought it up.
Okay.
You can say it at the end.
All right, yeah. Okay, stay tuned. This is going to keep you plugged in all the way for the next
just shaking in their boots, waiting for
your boots. We've got some great content for identity that I'll talk on our what's trending at the end.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Well, it's February, and, you know, it took about a week for the, you know, world to crumble again.
7 days. Yeah.
No one was shocked by that.
Nope.
But,
1 week.
But yet a little shocked. So... Well, we're glad to start the year off, and we brought a guest on. Anj, do you want to intro him?
Sure. Would love to.
Great.
I wish I would think about the intros is the hardest part for me. This whole thing that we do, they're the hardest part.
Well, he's not hard to intro.
No, not at all. None of ours have been hard to intro.
That's true.
Personally. We have, first of all, one of our favorite, I'm going to speak for Jamie too, I think our favorite topics that we're covering today, along with one of our favorite mm-hmm. male speakers on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie and I have both known him for
a long time.
It's been a while.
I'm starting to feel like we're kind of old.
Yeah. We are.
We're old. Jamie, you're almost 30, so you can say that.
You are going to be fired from this podcast if you keep it up.
So he's one of our favorite speakers. He's really one of our even favorite leaders. Sam Kyle, super humble, really engaged. And one of my favorite things about him, also I think one of his top strength finder is a learner. He loves to learn. And he loves to learn on topics like what we want to cover today. Sam and I had the privilege to have working together for a minute.
A couple years. A
couple years there.
Did you guys work together on staff like undergrad?
We
did, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
With you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Three of
so
us.
Actually, all of us have had the opportunity to work together.
The gang's back together, you know?
Come on!
And Sam and I just continued down that path for a few more years as well. So it was an honor to learn a little bit from him while we did work together.
Mm-hmm.
While we still work together.
Yes, yeah. At different
Forgot
companies
about
now.
That. Now we've both moved to the same new company.
Yeah, weird.
And it's exciting. So, Sam, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Wait, before he does that, I want to throw in my first memory with you, Sam.
Man.
This is like...
This will be a
this
nutshell.
This is really putting me on the altar of like my own pride and young
this
self.
This could go anywhere. I'm a little nervous.
I know what it is.
No, I don't think you do. When I worked in the missions office, I was an admin assistant. And I remember when... You were an outreach leader your first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you came in and you brought your, like, sheet back in, like, your weekly log of, you know, how many people came to this outreach and things like that. And I just remember thinking, like, this guy's not really this nice. I just was like, I did not believe him. And he just continually came back and was the same way. And I really... was humbled to learn that Sam really is the real deal, and he is who he is all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my first interaction with you way, way, way back in the day.
I can't even remember our first one, but I will say this, I think it's important to the audience. It's an honor to have him on the podcast, but one thing that's a little iffy with us about Sam is he doesn't love the personality tests.
Yes.
He doesn't like to be boxed in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on here we talk a lot about, Strength mm-hmm. Finders you've indulged in a little more.
So
I think you
helpful.
Even unlocked your
it
40,
is.
Which was good. But if he had to be involved in a personality test, he thinks he's a... What do you think now? It's changed over the...
You know,
Enneagram.
It has morphed over time, but through many late night conversations with my wife.
Yes.
I
love
do,
it.
Come
thanks,
on,
Raquel.
Let's
so
go.
So shout out to Raquel, but I do think I would still mostly identify with being a one with wings on both sides. So a two and a nine.
Balanced wings.
Pretty balanced. I just... I wanted to fight the fact that I had some too in me where I like to help people, but it's just too much in my DNA to ignore.
Yeah.
But I identify so much with wanting to be a peacemaker, which I identify so much with the nine. Mm-hmm. And then, honestly, if you know me, the one just kind of shouts out on a lot of things too. So a lot of my motivations, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So although I'm not as much of a fan of it as maybe some of you guys, I have learned to appreciate it more because of my wife, and that is a subtle shout out to her, and you're welcome, Raquel.
We do love to talk with his wife about this, too. Not Sam, necessarily, but the Enneagram at large. She's a great one. Maybe we'll have her on an episode for that.
She would love that, and I would love that, too.
She would love it so much.
She would bring
much.
Some spice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She brings the spice. That is for sure.
I'm here for that. That's awesome.
I wonder, though, Sam, how much of, like, the servanthood mentality you have plays into that, like, two side of you, where maybe it isn't a two necessarily, but it is just like the way you live your life, you know,
your in character.
Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting.
And I think that's maybe how I got first introduced to the Enneagram and was identified. Oh, Sam, you gotta be a two. Mm-hmm. And I think that gave me my first initial, I'm not sure about the Enneagram, because I felt it as like this deep conviction, more of like a, I just love to help people and serve people. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to do it for these motivations. So I think now I've pulled back some of the layers of my first interactions with the Enneagram being more negative to now being a little bit more open to it of, okay, some people were just misspoken at first. And now as I read about things, I've learned way more and how I actually identify with different just numbers and things.
That's true. Yeah. I think a lot of people could relate to. Not everybody loves this stuff. So that's good.
I realize,
like to have diversity here.
Yeah.
Diverse thoughts, diverse opinions. Also, I just feel like this is important to say, we're not actually talking with Sam today about the Enneagram.
No.
That is actually not our topic, and I don't think we've introduced it yet.
That's just free content for you all, so you're welcome.
Free content that we'll have you on here, even if you don't love what we love. So actually, we'd love to have you on here if you don't love what we love.
Yeah, no, please, let's have those conversations. But today, we have had Anja and I with different guests. Like, we've talked a lot about female friendships and what those look like, you know, talking about trio friendships and how a lot of times we can feel insecure or not part of the group, and just the different dynamics of friendships over time. Something that's fascinating to me and something that you and I, Anja, have discussed is just like guy friendships can look so different than girl friendships. Like, you don't
do typically.
Yeah, like, you just don't often see guys like out at coffee shops all the time hanging out, or
have you ever thought to yourself, like, man, I'm kind of offended this person hasn't talked to me in like 2 weeks?
I do feel
no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It seems like a pretty into relational guy, so if he's saying no, I don't know.
It would have to be around something. Like, I knew they were gonna talk to me about something for some sort of, I don't know, event that was happening or some future thing that I'm like, man, are they ghosting me? But not if it's just like a good friend of mine who hasn't talked to me in like 2 weeks. I still think we're like best friends.
Yeah,
so
this is John.
Wouldn't even ever second guess it.
That is like, if you didn't talk
if you,
to me for
I was
going
to say, if you didn't talk to me, I
would be like, she hates me. And what the heck did I do to her? Do we even have a podcast anymore? It's probably over.
That's so funny.
Is there anyone in your life you like talk to like on a daily basis that in the friend category, not necessarily like your brother or your family or things like that, or your wife?
You know, honestly, the only friend I talk to on a day-to-day basis is my wife. most people, honestly, it is every other day. I think that's probably the most frequent would be, like, every other day.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Apart from people I've, like, lived with and stuff like that, like, roommates. Mm-hmm. So I've got a few people where it'd be every other day on a weekly basis. But some of my greatest friends, like, we'll talk, like, once a month or once every other month. Mm-hmm. Even my brother, we're, like, when we're together, we're, like, really close, but we never text each other or call each other. Like, not even once. We'll see each other in 6 months and pick up, like, we left off when we were 12. And it's, like, all of a sudden we're, like, in the woods running around doing random things. So
that's so wild.
So I guess I'd love to start with you, like, defining, like, what is a good friend to you? Like, what is a, you know, who are the people that you consider really good friends? Like, why are they good friends to you?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, I think especially, I'm just 25, so I'm kind of like in this quarter, like not even quarter life. I mean, it'd be crazy to live to 100 nowadays, so yeah. Beyond that. But I, you know, I've really begun to redefine and refocus on like, what do I consider good friends or not? And for me, I don't always define good friends as frequency, but typically quality when I'm with that person. So some of the friends I consider the closest, they're people who I know when I bring things to them, they've got my back before they are thinking about what I'm producing or they're thinking about what career I'm going on or things like that. They're more concerned with my like health in all aspects of it, like how I'm doing emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. So those friends, and really, I think that loyalty and like feeling like I belong to that person, even if it's not on a frequent basis, is really significant to me. So I know that that ties a lot to like even like my childhood and upbringing, mm-hmm. and things, but it's knowing like this person, even with the time in between, still like embraces me as their own and things. So people that I know I can just depend on, that have got my back from me more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. It's really like people who value who you are.
Yeah.
Way over like anything you do, whether that's career, mm-hmm. or do for them or do for other people or like anything, yeah. like that. Yeah. That's,
yeah. Good. So even like when people remember random facts about me or things, so almost I feel like sometimes a distance in between friendship interactions almost adds more value to me, because I'm like, oh, they remember, mm-hmm. like what was going on, or they remember where it picked off or picked up at, you know, 1 month ago or, mm-hmm. or whatever. Yeah. So I know that's interesting, maybe counterintuitive, but that's
no, how it's, I see it's things. A little bit the same.
Yeah,
I think girls overthink it probably.
Oh, totally.
Totally. Like, that's probably like, is what the...
Per usual.
Yeah.
For girls, not just in relationships or friendships.
I don't know. Guys can overthink, too. Sam and I talked about this. In terms of making decisions, though. Maybe not friendships, but, like, decisions. Big overthinkers.
Yeah, really big. Big overthinkers. And one thing I've really learned in friendships, even, like, between my wife and I, like, learning how she interacts with people compared to how I do, is we are... And this does not have to be across the board, but for me, I'm a deeply like emotional person, but I don't express it like mm-hmm. outwardly. I feel like my wife, like she, sorry Raquel, I'm throwing you under the bus here. She might not think this way, but I think she does. Is like she's looking for a need to be able to express herself emotionally too, a little bit more outwardly than I'm not necessarily like needing that, which is like a little bit. It's just a weird observation I've made, a difference between her and I, at least.
Yeah. By outwardly, do you mean, like, through words?
Yeah, I think, like, outwardly, through words, through even being able to, like, feel, like, empathy with the people that, like, the group that they're with. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, I might not need, like, an exciting response to something or... you know, she's, if you guys know Raquel, she's so, like, overjoyed, animated. Like, yeah. animated. Yeah, maybe that's a great word for mm-hmm. it. Where I think that connection with those emotions is so vital. Whereas maybe for me, when I'm hanging out with my friends, I'm not necessarily looking for that all the time with things, but that's just an observation.
Yeah. Would you say like you're the norm for guy friendships? Because I would say no.
I would say no as well. You know, I... that's a really great thing.
Because I think I think so. I think there's going to be people that listen to this and they're going to be like, I call BS. Guys are not like this.
Yeah. I think it's true. I don't think everybody's like that. And that's just... That's been my journey and my friendships that I have. But I do have male friends, too, who do overthink every interaction. Hmm. Where it's like that moment... And then I know, like, whatever happened in that day or event or scenario, they are in their head, like, did I say the right thing? Did I say the wrong thing? Are they going to want to hang out again? Mm-hmm. Or how do they perceive me? And those sorts of things. And so, yeah, I think it's, yes, to answer your question, yes.
Have you always been that way? Or, like, where did you see this picture of it being done differently? And you were like, or is this just who you are?
I really think this has been, like, who I am. Like, yeah. I think, like, growing up, you know, my brother, he's older than me. I've always had, like, older friends. I've always been forced to grow up really quickly. So there's mm-hmm. this independence that I've, like, had. Mm-hmm. So I've never, even in my friendships, it's always been a, we're always in, like, different seasons of life. We're never, like, on the same track, in the same season, doing the same thing. And so I think I've just really learned from the get-go of just, we all are doing different things, but when we're together, there's, like, that friendship and that relationship that really is valuable, mm-hmm. Even though it could be a month apart, 2 months apart, who knows how long.
That's an interesting distinction, though, even outside of, like, male or female, but even in terms of, like, how you learned to build relationships from, like, young ages. Because mm-hmm. now I'm thinking about it, like, I have female friends who aren't necessarily that way, where, like, if they don't talk to somebody for 4 months, they're still like, no, this is my best friend, like, up on mm-hmm. this level. And now that I think even about some of their lives, I'm like, that's actually how they grew up too. Like, they grew up either like an only child, or they moved around a lot, and so they mm-hmm. always had friends either in different, like, regions of the world, or in different, really different seasons of life, because they were either way older or way younger than them. And so, like, that's interesting too, that's just kind of how you, it's like a norm for you. So it's not weird yeah. when you all graduate college, you're not like in an identity crisis of, I don't know how to manage a relationship. Cause it sounds like you were probably even doing that.
Yeah.
From, I don't know, young ages too. So that's interesting. That's like an interesting, I don't know, differentiation too, I guess, for people outside of like gender. So. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, what do you think makes that difference though? Like, even again, maybe even outside of male and female a little bit, but like, why do you think you feel so secure in relationships regardless of distance versus other people who can, I would almost say, it sounds like you're saying, feel a little more insecure in like daily interactions of friendship. Like, what do you think is the difference in those people?
Oh, just a great question. I really do. I think there is a lot of value in shared experience in friendships and relationships. And I think sometimes when we don't have that shared experience with people, sometimes it's, there isn't as much equity in that relationship or that friendship. Mm-hmm. I think when we have those shared experiences, things to reminisce on together, or things to really look back on, or really even like invest into in that moment, I think there's just something, it's like almost like buying a house. Like, you're putting ownership as you're paying off like the mortgage, you're like building this like equity. Yeah. So I think as we go through those things, I think almost like people who they, you know, go and they serve in a war together or something like that, they may never talk to each other again, but when they're together once again, there's like this deep investment into each other of, we did this together, that mm-hmm. would never be broken. So I think mm-hmm. sometimes the make or break is people who don't have that, and the relationship is simply just to try to fill some sort of void. And I think if the relationship and the friendship's just to, I'm trying to feel this way, and that person simply for that, they're always chasing the fulfillment of that emotion, not the actual relationship and friendship. Mm-hmm. So I really do think sometimes they're filling a void or some sort of emotion, or like mm-hmm. So I think sometimes like when we build community, at least for me, like what I've seen the difference is when I'm building community, if it's just for the sake of having a friend and building community, that friend is harder to maintain than it would be for someone who I have shared experience or shared interests or things where it's easier to like multiply that equity or multiply that investment into each other. Because if not, then I'm just trying to fill some sort of, I feel alone, or I feel like I need someone to interact with, or I feel like I need someone to be able to share my deep emotions with. Mm-hmm. And then when that person's not that, they're second guessing, like, are they really a good friend or those sorts of things. So I think from my experience of with some friendships, I would think that that's kind of some of the differentiation between just that equity, that relational equity of investing in that relationship. If that answers your question, I don't even know if that really does or not.
Yeah, No, I was gonna say, I hope the mic's on. I hope it was working. I saw Jamie fiddling with it, and I was like, I really hope we're catching.
I have no idea if that answered it. Sometimes I start answering the question, and it's like three rabbit trails down the road, which you're used to. You know, we work together.
Yeah, so. No, talk about rabbit trails. Yeah, uh-huh. That's me all the way. So, at least in this context. No, I actually think that answers the question even more than what I was asking. I think that you even started touching on community. So I get the question a lot lately, especially since started talking about friendships, is like, how do I, in my adult life, make friends?
Yeah.
And it's like, it almost sounds like a simple question, and it also sounds like a pretty complex question, because that is not like, let me pull this answer out really quick and then go ahead and share it with you.
Yeah.
But you make friends on Bumble BFF.
I thought you were about to say something serious.
Well, we can just pack up and leave. That's the answer.
No.
But I really thought, I was like, yeah.
Sure. No, I've never used that. But like, cool. If you like live in a big city, I think it honestly would be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. But I like the one differentiation you're making is like, even before asking the question of like, how do I build adult friendships, asking yourself first, why do I want those friendships, and what are shared experiences where those people might already be there and I've written them off, you know, as like, oh, I don't think we vibe right away. Sometimes it's true, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, honestly.
No, you do not need to vibe with every person on the planet. No. It's insane to think that you will.
No, one of my favorite, I think it was Glennon Doyle who said, like, the amount, you know how there's people you connect with that you're like, I can't even explain it. We just clicked right away. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, just right away, we just clicked. She's like, why don't we have the same freedom for people when we don't click with them? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't, like, if we don't click, we don't click. Why do we only let it be one side? Must be something wrong with me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm a big proponent of, like, if it's not, I mean, if you guys don't, it doesn't vibe, it's good. But I also think there's something too, like, do you have experiences too where you can share those with people? Like, what are you doing outside of watching Netflix and sitting at home and trying to bring a friend into...
Sam's doing that a lot.
What? No, that's my point. Yeah.
Sometimes. And bring a friend. Just finished West Wing. Awesome show.
Like, I'm actually use Sam's life. I think he would have a whole different experience as a friend if he's trying to make a friend, let's say. And he's going to go camping because I know something he would like to do with a friend. You automatically have a more shared experience camping than if he was like, bro, you want to come over and like watch a movie? And again, nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying, I think evaluating one, why you want a friend, but also what you're willing to do outside of your life to like create experiences with people are also two really pivotal things I don't think we talk about enough. Because really,
like,
friendships.
What memories do you have watching a movie? Usually it's like, hey, Sam, hey, Ange, remember that time we watched that movie?
Yeah. And cool. Some people bond over movies, though. Like, I think people who would be like, okay, this is my thing.
Me
and
Lauren.
You might be those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please hear me. I'm talking to the majority, not the minority.
Well, we're not knocking watching a movie because, like,
good things.
But, like, the amount of memories you can pull from a camping experience, so much more.
Yeah.
Or just different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it really... in my life, to answer the question that you've been asking, is...
I don't even remember the question.
I don't either, but if you remember, it's good.
I've just found that, like, community doesn't happen by accident. I'm sure you could go and you could hear that a ton of different places, but... And it's going to look... Building community looks way different in college when it's, like, the person's literally next door to you.
Mm-hmm. You're smushed together.
Yeah, but now you live 20 minutes away from each other. It's, like, January right now, or February. It's freezing cold outside. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to get in your car to go see the person, but you have to be really intentional to, like, make that effort to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think even the initiative of the intentionality itself can be enough to start that, like, investment into that shared experience with that person, because you're both, like, buying into it. Hey, let's be intentional with it. And sometimes I think, in my experience, like, I've had to ask, like, to be intentional with a friend to build community. Because when I graduated, even from college, and shifted more into adult life, a lot of my friends moved away. Like, I had to completely change who my day-to-day friends were. Sorry, as I said earlier, my every other day friends. It took so much intentionality to be able to find and asking, am I just trying to fill something inside of me, or am I content with 2-3 friends, or am I really looking for something else in this community? And like you said, like, sometimes looking just like around you, like, who is already in my life mm-hmm. that I can be more intentional in building relationship and friendship with.
Right.
Instead of being like, I need to change my whole scenery mm-hmm. and get into 5 new hobbies to be able to find like all yeah. these new friends. But okay, I'm interested in XYZ. Who else do I interact with doing those things? And let's be intentional, give it a shot.
Right.
I can imagine that because you do friendships differently than some people, you're not the only one that does it like this, obviously, but I can imagine that there are a lot of people that want to be close to you and that want to spend a lot of time with you, whether that's in a, you know, peer-to-peer or mentor type of way. Have you had to have any, like, tough conversations, or have you had to navigate any of that, like, you know, uncomfortable space?
Absolutely. There have definitely been some conversations to have with people, and they're never easy, and they're never, uncomfortable conversations. I know sometimes people, like, encourage you, like, the first time you have it, then it just becomes easier after that. I don't know what they're talking about, but for me, uncomfortable conversations are always uncomfortable, yeah. and maybe I'll be quicker to have the courage to do it because mm-hmm. I see the value, but it's never like, I just want to have this needed conversation. And, you know, I have, and it's always been a really big journey for me because I do hate, like, displeasing people. Like, I kind of hate the feeling of having somebody else have bad emotions towards me or bad feelings towards me. So I hate being the initiator of that, like thinking I am not like in harmony with somebody else, like really bothers me.
Harmony up there too, honest.
In my top 5. I hate it.
And even if it's like on a small scale, they're like, oh, what are you even talking about? I'm like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? Like, that made me feel like we didn't have a real conversation or any, whatever it is. Anyways, that's not really the question, but rabbit trail. For those listening, you got Anj and I, the king and queen of,
I'll keep rabbit us on trail. Track, people. Don't worry.
So, when it comes to having those tough conversations, what I found is that each person takes it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And each person you have to approach those conversations with differently. Whether it is someone who's like reaching out to you where it's more like you want to invest into them in that relationship, and setting those like healthy boundaries. Because I don't think it all boils down to this, but a lot of my experience has been seeing people who become dependent on relationships or dependent on a person mm-hmm. for whatever they're going through. And if we're not careful, we'll want to fill that mm-hmm. because we want to help the person, we care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that when we step into being dependent, the dependency for someone, when we really don't have that kind of authority or power to like really help someone that deep, and it's such a deep way, then it actually makes it worse for both people. So I've been in friendships where it actually was more toxic for me, and I just didn't know how to say no because I thought it was going to be afflict pain onto them.
Mm-hmm.
But once I made that first step and said, hey, there just has to be some changes. Honestly, some of those friendships actually have grown and not mm-hmm. separated. They've yeah. actually become deeper friendships because there became this like mutual respect, but then also they weren't looking to me to fill a void in their life that they were trying to fill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that has gone a bunch of different ways and has been one of the biggest pain points, honestly, Jamie, in the past like few years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always seen it to be one of the most rewarding as well when I'm like, I stop trying to be the hero. I stop trying to be the person who like, yeah, you want to seek me for advice. I'm going to just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Or, hey, we're going to be friends. But every time, like every day you call me and then dump whatever's going on, having those crucial conversations I've seen makes those relationships grow for some reason. Maybe you guys can help me realize mm-hmm. why. but mm-hmm. it, yeah, it's, I don't, if that answers what yeah. you're asking, it's tough, but it's always yeah. worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've said it on here before, but boundaries protect the things we value. Mm-hmm. So honest, it sounds hard and it is hard. It doesn't just sound like it, but it's very hard to implement a boundary. But down the road, like those friendships getting deeper, that doesn't surprise me because you have to find more value in that. Like, I value enough to tell you what everyone else is talking about.
Yeah.
You in all those different ways, but I'm actually going to like tell it with you and share it with you. And that's like one of the biggest things I've seen to healthy friendship is I'm not just going to go and talk to another person about my frustrations with it, mm-hmm. but I'm going to come to you with them as well.
Yeah. I heard this awesome podcast the other day by Patrick Lencioni. He's one of my favorite leaders. Yes. Has a podcast called At the Table. Anyways, he just said it really plainly. He said, in 10 years, no one's going to call you and say, thank you so much for avoiding all of those difficult conversations with me and not telling me about my behaviors and how I was like destroying everybody else around me emotionally and stuff. In 10 years, they're going to call you and they're going to say, thank you so much for having that tough conversation with me.
Yep.
That helped me realize how I was affecting those around me. And that honestly has given me courage to be able to be like, okay, it's not about me. It really is about this other person. I'm just not the solution, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I literally just listened to that episode yesterday and was just going to reference it.
Really? Yeah, let's go.
It was really good. I loved how they were just talking about, like, if you care about a person, you'll have this conversation right. because mm-hmm. it's showing that you care enough about them to not just push it aside.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that kind of leads me into, like, the next topic I wanted to discuss with you, which is, like, emotional health. You have to be very in tune with yourself to even have that conversation. What are some ways that you can tell if you're at your best and also at your worst?
Yes, that is such a great question. And that question has taken such a deeper, influence in my life where I've been learning that unhealthy doesn't necessarily mean like toxic mm-hmm. in a sense, like an abusive type. Like I'm not like, if I'm unhealthy emotionally, doesn't mean I'm like schizophrenic or something like that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes like being unhealthy emotionally is just me not being healthy. And so it could even manifest itself, not in really terribly negative mm-hmm. ways, but just sometimes in really subtle ways where I'm just not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's times when I know I'm healthy, just knowing who I am, I feel deeply, like I mentioned a couple times. So when I'm unhealthy, it's not that I'm like this explosively angry yeah. or like I'm going to go murder somebody mentality. It's honestly, sometimes I just don't feel like mm-hmm. I feel way less. I lose my sense of compassion. I lose my sense of like empathy for other people. When people share that things that are challenging them are going on, and I'm just giving them advice without actually mm-hmm. feeling like the pain oh, yeah. and the mm-hmm. struggle. Those are red flags for me yeah. of like, okay, Sam, you need to do something different because this is not
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
But I know that when I'm healthy, I feel emotion, and whether it's anger or whether it's sadness or whether it's just some sort of intuition that is happening inside of me. It's those things. And I know when I'm unhealthy, emotionally too, I'm really critical. So even talking about like friendships, in the workplace, I love to see what's wrong and make things better. I just have this, a strength of mine is...
You are a one, for sure.
Okay. Well, there it is.
Sorry.
So even on my strengths finder too, you know, one of my strengths is to restore things, is restorative, to make things better than they are. But I've learned over time, when I'm healthy emotionally, I see it with optimism. Oh, I see the potential. That's why I want to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm emotionally unhealthy, I'm like, that is wrong. That needs to get fixed. Like, there's a problem with that. You know, it's like this, critical. Yeah, it's like more pessimistic. So... sometimes people are like, man, Sam, you're so optimistic. You're so nice. And I'm like, you have no idea when I'm not doing as well. And it's not like I'm this like terrible, so emotionally unhealthy in these moments. It's when I'm subtly emotionally unhealthy where I begin to notice myself to become more critical and pessimistic. So honestly, it's really internally, I mean, I guess that's where our emotions are when I notice that I am the most healthy or unhealthy. And for me, it manifests mostly through how I view others. And if I'm being patient with others, if I'm not being patient with others, and if I'm just feeling or not. For me to not feel is not normal. So I know that, okay, there's something that's going on that I need to kind of deal with.
Yeah. I don't want to harp on the Enneagram, but I feel like it relates to this a little bit.
Please bring it. Bring it.
I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about your oppressed and dominant centers. I think I've talked to you about this, Ange. But for me, I think we can sometimes get in the like our most dominant center. So for those that don't know, it's thinking, feeling, or doing. And we all are most, we all have one that we do easiest. Easily? More easily? Most easy. One of those.
I didn't hear the full sentence long enough to really know. They probably didn't either.
We all do want, we're all like dominant in one of those, right, thinking, right, feeling, or doing.
Right.
I am dominant in feeling. I know that I can sometimes feel too much, and the idea would be to push the feelings down. Hello, suppression never works. So what they were saying is like you have to bring the other two up. So as opposed to like bringing your dominant approach down, you you think and do more. That would be what I would need to do.
Is that to be healthier, to like to be more equal for like equilibrium, or
it's just to like have more balance where you're not so stuck in the one way, whether that's you're just a doer and you never feel anything. It's not helpful to just stop doing things, because that's inherently who you are.
Amen.
It's just how can you make more margin and space to think and feel more,
or,
you know, whatever it is for you. So
I think that's definitely true. I think my dominant is doing, and it actually made sense why feeling was so hard, because I literally for my entire life, I think all 26 years of my life, 27 now, so 26 years of my life, I thought that I had to stop everything in order to feel things. Like I hated journaling because I'm like, I don't want to sit here. I don't want to write. But when I started realizing like I can feel through like while I'm running and like listening to a podcast that inspires me, or I can feel while doing other things. I literally never had that revelation but until recently, but it has been really insightful. I never knew that language, but off of what you're saying, it's like the same thing, bringing everything else I can think while I do those things too. So yeah, that's insightful, I think.
Yeah. So I guess what has helped you like in those moments where you're like, oh wow, I'm being really critical in this moment. Like what's helped you find balance?
Yes, that is so great. I am still on a discovery of finding those things. And I'm trying new things, you know, all the time. And that honestly has been, I say that kind of jokingly, but has been a big key, is finding the freedom and trying new things, and not just expecting like one thing is going to be what helps me in all of those moments. And trying to be more proactive in not just getting to emotional health, but maintaining emotional health. And so now I am married, so my wife helps me recognize those things. Honestly, just like a month ago, she was telling me how I was being really critical and things, and it was affecting her. And so it was like, oh man, I've got some stuff going on that I need to like really process through. But I was just feeling that. I wasn't thinking about it at all. And so some things that really helped me is like reflecting. I'm like a kind of like a nostalgic person. So like I like to reflect, but I do actually like to write things down. It just helps me process it. So something about it helps me process and be able to get into words that I can't like say. If I say, I just say the emotion. If I'm like talking out loud, I'm just like, I'm angry. That doesn't help anybody, you know? But when I write, it really helps me be able to just express like what's really happening. I'm not like, dear diary on January 8th, you
but
know.
But it's okay if you are.
It is, it is. But I think sometimes when I think of like writing things down, I've always thought in that way. Sometimes it's like one sentence.
Yes.
Like, and that is what helps me process it and reflect. Another thing is actually reflecting on the week practically, if that makes sense. So like reflecting on this is what happened during the week, instead of trying to tackle my emotion or my lack thereof, so to speak, processing what's been happening will typically lead me to the emotion. Mm-hmm. So instead of the emotion leading me to the event or the circumstance or whatever took place, it's those events lead me to the place of, that's why I'm like really irritated and agitated right now with people, is this continue, the past actually month or 2 months, it's been this perpetual event or activity or whatever. And so that has really been a game changer for me. And, you know, we were talking about community. One of the most significant things that have helped me in the past like couple years has been getting together with some other guys in a really intentional way of, you know, we've been getting together like Monday mornings at 7 a.m. for like 2 years now. And the band is actually disbanding right now because of some different changes and things. It was a shame. But that, honestly, having that intentional, like, hey, and that time is for nothing else other than what's going on the inside of you. What has been agitating you, frustrating you? Hey, you're thinking about moving. What's going on? And that, honestly, having an intentional relationship community that is focused on helping me identify what is going on has been essential, like so critical, because I'm a person where I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to just keep going. I'm going to handle it myself. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to champion it. I'm not too weak to be able to figure out like what's going on. And although I'm not thinking those thoughts necessarily out loud, that's just how I do it. That's how I live my life. And so I need that intentional, proactive space where that time is simply that. And another thing is, like, right after we record this podcast, so my wife is working today, I'm going to Costco's, I'm getting some groceries, I'm going home. But then after that, I've already planned that that time I'm not hanging out with people, I'm not spending time doing other activities. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the lake and I'm going to think about like what has been going on in my life and all of these things. And so for me, being proactive and setting things, honestly, like even on the calendar, I know that doesn't relate to everybody. Some people hate calendars and planning. It helps me so much to be like, okay, Saturday, if my friends ask me to hang out, I'm saying no, because for me, my emotional, mental, honestly, just total health is dependent upon finding time to reflect and think through what am I feeling right now in this moment. And the last thing, I know I'm saying a lot of things. I'm not as emotionally healthy as you guys probably all think, because I'm saying all these different things. I've tried so many different things. It doesn't work all the time. There's another thing is exercising. And I've noticed as I work out my physical body, it helps me like in every other area. If I'm agitated and frustrated, sometimes I don't have a deep wound that I'm working through. I just needed to get some aggression out.
Say it again to the people in the back.
Sean would really echo that. For me, not for him.
Like, it's not a childhood wound, necessarily.
No. Not everything is. Sometimes you literally just need to go for a sprint. Get it out.
And sometimes we need to acknowledge we've moved past those childhood wounds, and now it's, although it could be a similar emotion, it's just someone, I don't know, didn't do something at work that you wanted them to, and you're just kind of like irritated and you need to go pump some bench press or something like that, or go run a mile or something. Sorry, that's probably the most like male thing I said this whole podcast.
No, I don't think so. That is so true. I am a very different person when I work out versus when I don't. I think we've talked about this before, especially because I went through one of the longest seasons in my life where I didn't work out.
Such a weird season for you.
Yeah, that was a really bad one.
For anybody that doesn't know, Ange in college. Seriously. Talk about Jersey Shore.
Oh yeah. That's when my fitness really kicked off. So really, since college, I'd always been working out. So I didn't know, I think, who I was as an adult without working out. I found out, and I don't think I should ever stop working out.
We like her more when she's working out.
What a journey to discover that. So
that's great.
Those are really good.
Yeah. It's kind of... Do you have any questions for Sam?
I don't have questions. I have this statement that I want to say.
Okay.
That is not my statement. I actually don't know whose it is, but it's on the screen. And I just feel like we're talking about emotional health. This so relates. And it's this quote that I found last night. It said, I sat with my anger long enough until she told me her real name was grief. And I just think a lot of what you're saying, too, is kind of also, if you parse it out, it's like sometimes we want to say we almost already know the answer, so we don't have to process to find the answer. And what I love about what you're saying, like, even I'm just going to think through the week, you could have just sat down and said, I'm mad. That's what I like to do. But when you actually have to process it out, you might come to a way different conclusion on the other side that, like, man, I wasn't actually mad. I was really offended, or I was really disappointed, and I want to acknowledge that I was disappointed, so I'd rather just be mad. And so I think that that's, like, one of the biggest keys to emotional health, and a lot of what you're saying is time. I feel like we've said this before, too, but, like, even if you're not a big calendar person, and I'm not a huge calendar person, but I have found out if I don't put something in a place, something else will eat up at that time. I've also found once I do put something intentional on the calendar, every other single thing in my life wants to be in that time. Everything. Every single item in my life wants to be in the 1 hour block that I tried to make for myself. I'm finding this out a lot because I want more free time. And I'm like, okay, I had 72 hours of free time. I blocked off 1 hour. The only time people wanted me was in the 1 hour that I blocked off. So it's really good boundaries, really good emotional health, learning all of it. But I also just think there's something to be said that what we think the problem is isn't always what it is. What I think might be a childhood wound might actually just be like, I need to go punch a punching bag. And truly, like, I needed to let stress out of my body. And I'm processing fine now. And other times, I think I just need to hit a punching bag, but I actually need to hit therapy for like a year and, you know, maybe do something like that. So, yeah, I think what a lot of you said is great, Sam.
Can I say one more thing if we have time for it? Another, like, big revelation I've had recently, and it's going to sound so dumb for anybody listening, is I've learned the word ruminating, and I have found myself, if you are, if, I don't want to say you, like, I'm talking to you guys, like, honestly, for me, if I am creating false stories and narratives in my mind about the emotions I'm having inside, there's something wrong. Like, I need to go, ruminating is not processing. It's just thinking about what's going on and happening. And so
over and over again.
And it's like this, and so I found myself like ruminating all the time, thinking I'm processing, but I'm like, and it sounds like crazy, but you probably can relate.
I definitely relate.
So I think of these false narratives in my head and it's causing all these emotions, but it's not even like real stories. It's like hypotheticals. And so I found ruminating can be a part of your processing journey. Sometimes you need to ruminate for 20 minutes so you can get those out of your head. But it's not the same because it's just, So that's, I've identified emotional unhealth in my life by how many false narratives I've been putting in my head or stories I'm making up, hypothetical situations of I'm feeling angry. Maybe that's going to cause this, 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 or this. And it's just in my head. It's been a big identifying just red flag for me of, okay, Sam, you need to actually sit down and process and figure out why you're feeling this way and what you're actually feeling.
So ruminating can just be like thinking the same thing over and over and over again. Thinking that that's processing, but you're really just thinking about what happened over and over and over again. Yeah, that is interesting.
I don't.
I think some people might think they're processing. I think.
I don't know that there's a positive to ruminating. I think the positive would be like maybe meditating. Something like, I don't know that.
That's what I mean. There's a difference. I might actually think, I might be telling my counselor I'm processing. All I'm doing is thinking about one event over and over and over again.
Went 17 back different ways
and called it processing. But I actually didn't. There wasn't an outcome of processing to it.
And then we're feeling all these emotions that are coming up from us just thinking about that same thing. But like, we shouldn't be feeling those things because it's all like just ruminating in our head. It's just like sometimes hypothetical situations that we're thinking about that are like causing us to be angry or causing us to be sad or depressed. And it's like I guess a good example is the other day. Sorry, Raquel, I'm going to throw you on the bus again.
She's living under that bus today.
I'm sorry.
John's happy to take a break.
My heart goes out to you, John. I hear you, man. Is Raquel had a dream the other day and she like woke up and she like felt angry towards me because of what happened in the dream. A real emotion that's taking place, mm-hmm. a false thing that happened in a dream. So we kind of laughed about it. She was like telling me about it and stuff. But I think sometimes we can do that to ourselves. Like we're feeling this emotion about these things we're thinking about when really they aren't the reality. Mm-hmm. So when I do that, I'm like, okay, Sam, it's time. I need to go take an hour or 30 minutes and process what's going on.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it definitely takes a lot of awareness and intentionality to do that. And I think that's where like your healthy markers come in, like whether it's community or getting to the lake or something like that to like bring you back to center. Because otherwise you'll get stuck there.
Yeah.
So, well, as we always end, unless you have any final thoughts.
No, it's good.
All right.
Thank you guys for having me. You know, it's been an honor.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Interrupting your lake time.
Yeah.
No,
thanks for taking the jump.
This is good. I'm saying all these things out loud. You know, it's good for me.
You're just getting ready for the lake. Like, you're going to get to the lake and you're going to know. But we always end with what's trending in our world. Sam, what's trending in your world?
I knew this was coming.
You have to. It's a one question people could rely on.
I know. I knew
this was coming. One time I said a leaf blower, so like you can
you
be
anything.
This is going to be so lame. I'm kind of nerdy. I love to read books, and I've never read fiction. So I've always read like leadership books or like things that are so impactful or whatever.
Tozer or something.
yeah, something like that. So I've picked up reading the Lord of the Rings series. So I started with...
That's exactly what y'all
said. So, okay, whatever. But I read through The Hobbit, and then now I'm almost done with the first Lord of the Rings book. And it is just so amazing. Like, I've probably learned just as much as, like, reading a leadership book. But it's like...
That's real.
I don't want to put it down. Like, I'm, like, staying up late, and I'm, like, reading it, like, what's going to happen to Frodo? So, I know I sound like a loser, but... It is amazing, and it is totally just taken over my life right now.
That is amazing. That is not the book I would pick up for fiction. I just feel like there's...
He and John both picked it up for fiction, though, and both said it on here. That's what
it's
kills
so,
me.
It's such a dense book.
It is.
Like, there's so much, like, about the nature and, you know...
John loves it.
I forget what the term is.
He thinks it's so beautiful
or whatever.
It is.
It's so descriptive.
It is, yeah.
For people like you and him, I could see you loving that, though. Like, he's big fans of words. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really like, yeah, that's
amazing.
Great.
Love it. Ansh, what about you? There's a lot. Like,
I feel like
I've got a list.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's been a little while.
Yeah,
you know, since
we've
been here.
True.
So
I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, but remember, we have to record more. So don't give all your gems out.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, don't give them all out. I was actually supposed to give all 10 of mine out.
Yeah.
So I just remembered that.
Ooh, okay.
I have to say this because if you know me at all, you already know this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone by Justin Bieber. I mean, he already won 2021. He won it on New Year's Eve. Midnight on New Year's
whatever,
Day or whatever.
Yeah.
When it came out, he won it for the year. I automatically knew how my year was going to go based off that.
Wow. That's bold.
I'm being extremely dramatic, so nobody quote me on that. But, I mean, I would be lying if I said I didn't listen to it on repeat in my car every time I've driven. And I drive a lot in a week, like 6 hours in a week.
Wow.
I haven't listened to it for 6 hours a week. That's actually also dramatic. But it's... It's really good. The drum solo part, Jamie has a great rendition of a video of me just drumming out to that. And
she almost hit me in the face. She was getting so big.
My hat fell off. I mean, it was great. Anyway, I really love that song. You all already know I love Justin Bieber, but I really like Anyone. On a deeper note, because I did say I was going to say this when it was trending, there's also a podcast from Church Home with Judah Smith. I'm trying to find, I want to make sure I give you guys the right one. But it's on identity. And... It is probably one of the most... You listen to it too, right?
Yeah.
So you could like speak to this as well. But it is probably one of the most clear, thought through, and simple messages on identity truly that I've ever heard. And I'm big on identity, so like I feel like that's a lot coming from me. But I really think this might be one of the best, like better than any book I've read. I don't know if that's just me, but it seems like Jamie said she's going to listen to it every month.
I think I am. I think I'm deciding I'm going to just like make it part of the first day of every month.
Yeah, because it's just good.
It's just a great reorientation to like who we actually are.
Yeah, some of his gems in there, like I might just give a preview with this one. But it's like if we're not saved, if all of our bad can be redeemed, like all of our sin can be redeemed, then that means that and bring us to Christ, then that means none of our good can bring us to Christ either. Mm. Nothing, our yeah. most powerful moment,
yeah.
the biggest thing we'll ever do on or off a stage, can't bring us to Christ. If the worst thing we do can never bring us to Christ. I cannot
tattoo that somewhere.
So I'm know. Thinking about it. You know, I'm thinking about tattoos.
You're thinking about a lot of tattoos.
A freedom.
A no, she wants the stick tattoos. I like all the over. Stick tattoos.
Uh-oh. I really like Josh Kulieva. I really like that.
Like Justin Bieber.
Dua Lipa. Actually, she's my go-to. Yeah, Dua Lipa's my go-to for that.
I love her.
So at the podcast, because I literally have quoted it and not told you yet what it is. It is the Church Home Podcast, episode 169. Oops, it's about to play. Oops. Okay, sorry. Episode 169, Church Home, Jesus on Identity. It's 29 minutes. Don't speed it up. I'm a big speed it up person. Don't speed it up.
I did.
No, you go back then.
I'm going to listen to it every listen to month. It
not sped up. So good. I had to pause and think a couple times. So 29 minutes of your life. It's a good one. I also want to say this because I might take Jamie's, but Dua Lipa's album also killed 2020. She's already mentioned that before.
Yeah, I already mentioned that.
You can I know, that's it. Why I said I stole yours. Yeah.
Well, I do. I have a list, but I'm going to only say a few.
Give us your best.
Number one, I just have to say it. I've been using your login, but Masterclass is the best thing.
Man, yeah, I ever. Wish I had thought about that one, but yeah, it's okay.
I gave it to you initially, so.
But you're using my login. So if we're actually like going to count who's really can take credit.
Either way, it's awesome. If you like want to learn a new skill or like about leadership, there's a lot
anything,
of topics.
Gardening. Cooking.
I've been cooking one right now. I mean, I literally watched 11 minutes of how to cut.
Playing chess.
How to cut like carrots.
Can I also recommend a really great one, Anna Wintour?
Yeah.
Anna Wintour's she's essentially, like creativity and leadership.
She's essentially who they wrote and
Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, directed the Devil Wears Prada off of.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I just finished it.
There's one with Alicia Keys. I'm in the middle of it. I just have to say this little moment with Alicia Keys. Everyone knows I love her. But I was watching it and she made a comment and she like literally stopped herself and she was like, you know what? I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna say that again because I really believe in the power of words, and I believe that you should manifest whatever you want and speak it over your life. And I was like, come on, Alicia, somebody.
Got your declarations.
Yeah. So now I'm declaring things over my life every day because I'm not good at that crap. So Masterclass is number one.
That's good. That's a good one.
Number two, I'm going to say Love Life on HBO. It's with Anna Kendrick.
I thought you were telling us to Love Life.
It is so...
Wait, is this a show or a movie?
It's a show.
Oh, okay.
It is so real life. Like, it is not one of those, like, cheesy shows where it's just... It's the furthest thing from, like, a Hallmark movie you could ever get. I hate Hallmark.
Praise God. Well, let's get it up in here. Hate air it to the world. Get it off HBO. Give it to everyone.
And I just, like, I don't necessarily want to give away the ending, but it just felt so realistic for what love how actually looks like. And, yeah, how it's not just all this, like, rainbows and butterflies and, like... huge emotion
yeah,
thing. Really, so really anyway, I'd recommend Masterclass and Love Life. And that's going to be it.
Those
for
are good.
This episode. Thanks for tuning in to the first one of 2021.
See you next time.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you soon.